I've known them for an even longer time, but we won't get into that because Doug taught me math back in 1991 or 2 or something. But anyway, since then, they have been working in Mexico for almost full-time, but now it's a bit more than half the year. They're in Manitoba, a bit less than half the year. But even when they're here, they're still working with Spanish-speaking people. They have a great heart for them. Like I said, we do support them here. And because of that, they're going to be speaking, but also because we value them. They're friends to us. We go to their cottage every year, which is their house, and they come to our house as much as we can have them. Anyway, so let's open our hearts to what the Lord would say, and it's always great to have you guys here. So let me pray for you. Is that okay? God, thank you for Doug and Jan. We're really grateful to see them again. We're really grateful to have them here again. It's not that they do their thing out in Mexico. In a very real sense, they're doing our thing in Mexico, Lord, and we're partnering with them. It's not their own private thing, Lord, it's us. And I pray that that sense would increase, and I pray that you would speak to us this morning through your scripture in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, once again, it's a real joy for us to be here. We love coming to Calvary Chapel. It feels like home to us, and that's because you people are homely. No. It's because you people make us feel at home.
Yes.
This is our first experience at Calvary Chapel with the 9 service and the 11 o'clock service, and so we saw part of you this morning and earlier, and now it's good to see the rest of you.
We apologize to those who are sitting through 2 services and are hearing maybe the same, but maybe not. We have a very difficult time speaking the same message the second time, so it might just be changed a whole lot. So it depends on what God does.
As the Spirit leads,
yeah.
Or as Jan directs us. Well, that's the way we're going.
Same thing.
Thank you.
Well, we want to talk this morning about the fragrance of Christ. And this is a message that's been churning around in our heads for some time, almost a year. And finally, when Andrew booked us in for a day, we said, well, we better put this message together. At least we have a deadline to get it to. But fragrance has been something that's been significant in our lives. And so we hope that the Word of God will come across in a way that will be relevant to you. Our scripture is 2 Corinthians 2:14-17. King James Version, New King James Version says is up there. I'm not going to have us read it this morning. You can look at it. But what I do want to do is read the Message version of that scripture. And it's not on the overhead, but you can sort of look at that and listen to this. We find that the Message is very helpful for us. We don't use it as a teaching Bible or a study Bible, but sometimes it just speaks to us in a way that gives me a little clearer understanding. And this is what the Message says in 2 Corinthians 2:14-17. And I got it, thank God. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation, an aroma redolent with life. But those on the way to destruction treat us more like the stench from a rotting corpse. This is a terrific responsibility. Is anyone competent to take it on? Well, if we look into the Old Testament, we find that fragrance was something that was very important to God. I started reading through Leviticus, the first 4 chapters, which is the very detailed way of sacrifices being made. And so the book of Leviticus tells the priests, the people, how they should prepare the sacrifice. Very detailed, clean the entrails, do this, do that. And at the end of each one of those things, it says that there will be a sweet aroma pleasing to God. So it didn't matter whether they were sacrificing oxen or cattle or birds or grain or oil. Whatever they put on the altar and burned, done the proper way, was a sweet fragrance to God, a sweet aroma to God. If we look in the New Testament, then, we see that the sacrifice that Christ made, the ultimate sacrifice, must have been a much greater aroma to God. And so that whole idea of fragrance and aroma becomes very important. And then if we look back at the 2 Corinthians thing, we see that it says that we are carrying that fragrance of Christ, which is the sweet aroma to God. So it's not us. I know sometimes I may not smell as sweet as other times. It's the Christ in us that carries that aroma that's pleasing to God.
Now, you know, it says here that to some, we are the scent, a beautiful fragrance. Because those are the ones who are going on to salvation with God. And to other people, we are the stench of death. We are like dead corpses. And so how is that possible? That some of, to some people, Lynn, you are just going to smell like heaven itself. Because you carry the essence of Christ. And yet to other people, she is going to be like death. And so we question, like, how can that be? But you know, in Old Testament times, this is what would happen when an army went out, when the Israelites went out, and they would conquer another people group or conquer a city. They would come back into their own city and they would have a parade. Like a processional, you know, not like the Shriners, but, you know, that, not like with clowns and stuff. But the conquering captain of the soldiers would ride in front, and he would ride probably a white stallion or a black stallion. And in behind him would come the priests, and the priests would have their censers to let off the smell, to let off the aroma of the spices and the incense, and they would wave these things around, and that smell would go out. Well, in that parade, there would be the conqueror, the priests, and then the soldiers who had conquered, and they would lead up the captives. And what would happen to those captives? Those captives would either be thrown into prison for forever, or they would be killed. Sometimes they would serve the conquering king as well. So to the ones that were the victors, that incense was incredible. It just smelled like, oh, we are victors. We are walking in victory. But to the ones who were conquered, it was death. It smelled like death. And so that's how we can be both of these things. That's how we can be the fragrance to those who are being saved, and yet the stench to those who are dying.
We need to be sure that we are allowing that fragrance to flow out and not be concerned about trying to decide, well, okay, who's, you know, smelling, is sweet smell over here, and over here it's a bit of a stench. And, you know, we're not called to do that. We're called to allow that fragrance to emanate from us. And just as Romans 8:15-17 talks about our adoption, we need to understand that the term adoption there is a little bit different than our concept of adoption. In today's age, adoption is like a legal term. So someone adopts a child, they become a member of that family, they have all of the legal rights in that family, but they still carry their own genetic makeup, their own DNA, not that of the adoptive parents. Well, when God talks about adoption, he says that we become children of God. And we're talking about a spiritual adoption here now, whereby the actual DNA is changed. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become the natural children of God, carrying that DNA, that same genetic makeup, spiritually speaking, right?
So how many of you, like, I know that Darlene and Bill have adopted children, right? I don't know anybody else here who's adopted or if you have adopted children. But no matter what you do, they will not carry your DNA, right? Now, if a child, if Doug has children, they will have the same DNA that he has, right? So the adoption in the Bible is a spiritual adoption. When God saves us, when we accept Jesus Christ, our DNA is actually changed. We actually become God's natural children. We become His biological children. See, no matter what you do, if you've adopted children, no matter what you do, they cannot become your biological children. Only your biological children can be your biological children. But spiritually, God does that for us. So He takes us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the firstborn is Jesus. So He is our brother, right? So we are after Christ. So He is the natural born Son of God. And we are the biological sons of God because, and I said this in the first service, this is a good thing to write down if you're going to write. The Son of God became a son of man so that, in order that, the sons of men could become the sons of God. There is only one way. There is only one way. This is an absolute, and no matter what you hear from other places, that there isn't absolutes and that there isn't only one way, there is. The Word of God says there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. And we are blessed because we are the sons of God. We are His biological children. We are now His natural children. We have all of the rights of saying, this is my Abba. This is my Father. Mm-hmm. I am His and He is mine. Not just legally, but spiritually, biologically, I am His and He is mine. He is my true Father.
Well, the candles this morning represent, and they just represent, us. They are scented candles.
This one's apple, this one's melon, and that one is my favorite. It's vanilla, but it smells to me like donuts.
And so the idea of lighting them was so that the aroma of these would go out through the congregation, and pretty soon you would get this abundant smell of various wonderful things. Unfortunately, we bought them at the dollar store, and so there's only enough fragrance for right here.
But
we're not like that. Remember, these only represent.
Yeah, but the fragrance is stamped right all the way through the wax. It's not just a topical thing. It's not just put on the surface. It is right embedded into that. The DNA of that thing is apple. The DNA of that thing is melon. And the DNA of that thing is vanilla. Like us. God's Spirit is stamped on us, and His aroma is stamped in us. The same way as our DNA is changed, our aroma is changed. We carry the fragrance of Christ.
Okay, well, sometimes those candles get snuffed out, and the fragrance doesn't get to go out. What kinds of things prevent the fragrance from emanating out of us? First thing we want to look at is fear of man. When we have a fear of man,
he wants
he
some
doesn't.
Scandals. Yeah, he doesn't have the fear of man.
When we have the fear of man, and we find it particularly strong in Canadian American culture, much more so than in Mexican culture, it snuffs out our candle. See, our culture says it's not really cool. It's not really popular to be a Christian. And so often that we are often afraid to stand up for what we really believe in certain areas. I mean, it's great here Sunday morning, right? Calvary Chapel, we're all family, and you know, I can say praise the Lord, hallelujah, and nobody throws tomatoes at me or anything like that. But there are other places that I go on Monday or Tuesday that I'm not quite feeling as open to express my beliefs as I am here on a Sunday morning. See, that's the fear of man, prevents us from doing that, right?
And it's not just our words. Like we don't expect, in fact, we discourage people from walking around and speaking to everybody else and saying hallelujah every second word, or bless God, or praise the Lord, or whatever. You know, because that actually doesn't necessarily spread the fragrance of Christ. Right? It's not that we have to speak the same language. In fact, we have to speak a different language. Right. But it's that watch what your mouth is saying. Right? Are you able to be a blessing to people? Are you able to communicate the love of God? Are you able to communicate the grace of God?
Yeah. One of the things that used to really concern me and still does when I was a principal of the King School was to talk to parents that would tell me that their children went from the King School into either public school or university or the workforce or somewhere else, and they fit right in. And I would go, oh, no, don't want them to fit right in. Want them to stand out, right?
Yeah.
Want them to be noticeably different than the world. Okay, number two, our candles can be snuffed out. The fragrance of Christ can be prevented from emanating out of us by our self-centeredness. We live in a me culture, don't we? It's all about me. We live in a place where it's my rights, my wants, my needs, my desires. Right? We also live in a culture that is instant gratification. So it's not only just about me, but it's got to be now. I want it now. I want my stuff now. I told a story this morning about about a client that our daughter has. She's helping a construction company in the design of new homes. And she told us that she met with a young couple, very nice couple, both of them just graduating from university, and they are building a $400,000 home. And that's fine. I don't have anything against $400,000 homes. What struck me was, here's a young couple coming out of university. Neither one of them have jobs yet, but they certainly are going to be professionals, and they're building a $400,000 home. Like, when we first got married, came out of university, we bought a bed. That was it.
And then a little bit later, we bought a TV set.
And we paid cash for it, yeah.
And until our daughter was born, then we bought a crib.
Yeah.
So, like, we accumulated that way, right? That was just our norm.
That self-centeredness and that instant gratification will snuff out our candles.
You know, we...
You're the snuffer.
Oh, I'm the snuffer-outer.
You're the snuffer,
I get that great privilege. One of the things that we talked about this morning was being in... it won't go out. This one's very persistent. That's good. That's good, yes.
Yeah.
Somebody's burning even though things are trying to snuff it out.
That must be the melon one.
Yeah. So we were in Tim Hortons, I think, and we saw a little child just kind of lose it today because they didn't get the donut or the type of donut that they wanted. And they just had a big, big meltdown right in the middle of Tim Hortons. And we said to each other, you know, I mean, we don't want to be the kind of people that get up here like old people. that get up here and talk about when they used to ride in the sled to work, to school, and no boots, and it was 5 miles, and had to write on stone.
Uphill
both ways. Yeah. But, you know, there are some things. I mean, can you imagine, well, some of you, could you imagine being a small child and even thinking that you could have a meltdown because you didn't get the donut with the right color sprinkles? No. You know what? We are teaching our children, and I said this in the first service, and nobody got angry with me, I don't think, or if they did, they didn't say anything, that we are teaching our children to be self-centered. We are teaching them to expect that they will get everything they want when they want it. We are rescuing them when God does not, even teenagers, even adult children, we are sometimes rescuing them. And I am the mother of adult children, and I have grandchildren. And I am big-time rescuer. So, I mean, I need to set the record straight. I would be. Everything in me would want to rescue. When our kids were in school, if they were running out of groceries, I wanted to buy the groceries. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. But I think what happens is we teach them to be the center. And we want to teach them that God is the center. God is always the center. Parents, when your children are growing up, you are to be the center. It's to be your will, not theirs. And then you step out of that place, and God steps in. God moves closer to the center because they don't understand things like that. But we need to teach them, because what happens to self-centered children? What do they grow up to be? Self-centered adults. Yeah. Even right. Some people that weren't in the first service said that. That was good.
Number three, our candles get snuffed out. The aroma of Christ is not able to get out when we allow the love of the things of this world to lead us to apathy. Who cares? Somebody else will do it. That's not my job. More important is that I get more of this, or I get more of that. Somebody else is going to do it. I mean, we'll let Andrew be the evangelist here. I don't have to go tell people about Jesus. That's the job of the pastors in the church, right? I don't really care much about it. When we adopt that attitude, it prevents the aroma of Christ getting out and being a sweet smell. Well, we want to talk for the next little while about how we can keep that flame burning, how we can allow that fragrance of Christ to be no matter where we go.
Yeah. So that is our job. You know, we partner with God, and He does that with everything, right? I mean, why does He even need us? But He has chosen to partner with us. So He puts His DNA in there. He puts the fragrance in there. The fragrance of Christ is in me. The fragrance of Christ is in you, Andrew, is in you, Greg. The fragrance of Christ is in you, Brenda. The fragrance of Christ is stamped in there. But we must cooperate to get it out. Is that not true? You always have to cooperate, right? See, the things of this, the things of the world, the things that we don't have to strive after. Somebody came up to me after the first service and said, what I find is that the things of the world want to just whoosh. They just want to sweep me away. They just come. They're like a tidal wave. And I had said in the first service, you know, that it's very easy to slip into mediocrity. It's very easy to slip into sin. It's very easy to slip into a bad marriage. You don't want a good marriage? Don't work at it. You want to raise good kids? Let them have their way. Right? You don't want to have a vibrant life with Christ? Don't use your Bible. Don't go to your word. Don't pray. It's very easy to go that way. And that way is either the way of the flesh, which we are, or the way of the soul, which is our emotions and our feelings, or we want the way of the Spirit. So the way of the Spirit is a disciplined way. The way of the Spirit is a concentrated effort. It's always something that you will be able to cooperate with God in.
So this isn't about what we can do. We're not talking about striving harder. We're not talking about reading your Bible more, praying more, fasting more, you know, get into church more. We're talking about what Christ has done for us, what God has created us to be, and how when we cooperate with that, there's a natural flow out to others. There's a natural flow out to others. But we can stop that flow. So how do we prevent the flow from being stopped when the fear of man is what snuffed out our candle, so to speak?
So knowing who God is, that's the very first thing. You must know who God is. And you must know who you are in Christ. Those two things, if you know who God is and you know who you are in Christ, will stop the fear of man. In Hebrews, it says, you know, God will never leave us nor forsake us. And why should we fear man? Why should we fear man? Why am I afraid? I told the first service about the fact that I was in a setting where they were playing sacred music. They were doing old gospel stuff. And you know, when I got saved, one of the things that I loved was the old time gospel stuff. And I sang in a quartet and I sang in a choir and I loved that music. So we were in this setting and we come from a church. Well, we come initially from Gateway, but we're used to Greg. We love your worship. We love the worship that you lead. To us, it's like, wow, home. Feels like home, this kind of worship. When we're at Gateway, the same thing. In Mexico, our church that we go to is the same way. And I'm a worshiper. I mean, I would find it very difficult to say, seated in my seat, not to clap, not to jump, that's just the way I am. If you're not that way, don't feel condemned. You know what? You worship in however you worship. But I was in a setting where people were not worshiping like that. And I was, and everybody was seated down and we were sitting and this old time gospel stuff came up and I started to sing it because I remember singing it 30 years ago and it was very special to me. And I had my eyes closed and I had my hands raised. And I mean, I'm not sitting in a worship thing, but there's this music going on, and I had my hands raised and suddenly I realized, ooh, I got my hands up. And then I opened my eyes. I went, oh, everybody's looking at me. and you know, I kind of put my hands down. But there was an old friend of mine there that when I first came to Christ, he was part of that whole thing. And I said to him, how do you sit here and not lift your hands and worship? I'm finding it very difficult. And he said to me, well, Jan, lift your hands if you feel like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, I felt very convicted afterwards that I didn't, because the Spirit of God was moving in me. And why would I be afraid? All these people that I was with were Christians. And they just didn't happen to worship that way, or some of them didn't, or maybe they were in the same place as me. And they were afraid, you know. And I think, what, you know what? I know who God is. And I know who I am in Christ. You know, I can be who I am, who God has made. There is grace. His grace is sufficient for me.
See, we are created in His image. We are filled with His Spirit. We are set free from our sin nature by the blood of His Son. Like, why do we have to worry about what other people are concerned about?
This wick is getting lit here. No
confident
more fear of man.
In who we are in Christ, we need not fear man. How do we overcome the fear that comes upon us, or the quenching of our flame? From self-centeredness.
Who here battles with self-centeredness?
I do.
Okay. If you don't put up your hand, it's because you're self-centered. No.
I thought it would get easier when I got older. It's not. Now my comfort becomes more important to me as my body ages, and I become more self-centered in that.
You know, doesn't it just get you? Like, I said to God, I was just dealing with something last week. I probably was just dealing with something this morning, in fact. And I just think, you know what, God, I thought I gave this to you. You know, I mean, I have said to God, kill me, so many times, and yet there's always some little part of me that wants to resurrect itself, you know, that still wants my own way. I think we all deal with self-centeredness.
Yeah. See, we're born with that sin nature, that selfish nature, and unless we work at putting it to death, it will continue to be there. It will continue to be there. Matthew 22 gives us what I call the blueprint of overcoming self-centeredness. It's very simple. Love God, love others. This is the commandment that Jesus gave, right? Love God, love others.
I remind Doug of this quite often. I said, okay, in the middle of something, I can say, are you loving God? Are you loving me? No, I don't really do that, but I just came up with a plan now. That would be a good thing to say.
I knew this message was going to get me in trouble somewhere.
Wouldn't that be a good plan? Now I can say to him, hey, remember
love God,
Sunday
love
at Calvary
Jan.
Chapel?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, love God, love Jan. Yeah. But then I guess I have to do that too, don't I?
Yeah. Love Jan?
Love
no.
God, love Doug.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
I've completely lost my train of thought now.
You're overcoming self-centeredness here.
I know. But I'm so focused on what I'm going to say that I've lost the... Never mind.
Okay. When we love God, and He's in His rightful place, and we love others...
I'm going to light the other candle.
There you go. And they are in their rightful place, and we are in the place that we're to be, we will get over our self-centeredness. You know, just, yeah, one of our daughters says to one of her children, you know, just get over it. We're not having any divas in this family. Just get over it. And I think, you know what? I wonder how many times God has thought that about me. Jan, you think you're a diva. Just get over it. You know, and I have to say,
now I'm getting an idea. Just get over it. Remember that one. Yeah.
But you know, it is God's grace, right? Because it's His fragrance. It's not our fragrance. It's His fragrance. But the trouble with me is I often, you know, get in the way of God's fragrance. And He does truly. He wants to smell through us more than we want to smell like Him. Mm-hmm. He wants, you know, people to just go, ah. You know, Al?
Careful where you're pointing at.
That's a very bad thing in Mexico. You never point. It's a very, very bad thing. So, you know, Al, God wants to triumphantly, He is triumphantly leading you in procession as you smell like Him wherever you are.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you do, wherever you are, Joy, same thing. All of you, the same thing. Rob, He wants to lead you in triumphal procession, so that because it's about Him, it's not about us. Ours is just the cooperation, you know, of keeping the light. You know, He's got the light in us, but keeping ourselves lit.
We can overcome that self-centeredness. Oh, I'm still there, right?
Yes, you want to be the other thing.
I want to be the next one.
Yes.
What is that?
I don't know.
We can overcome our love of the world that goes into apathy.
Then I just press the button.
I'm stuck on this self-centeredness, yeah.
do you get that? He's stuck on self-centeredness? Yeah. So what we...
When we learn to care about the things that God cares about...
Yeah.
It allows Christ's fragrance, Christ's aroma to emanate from us, right? Caring about the things that God cares about. For us, living the last 8 years in Mexico has given us lots of opportunity to care about the things that God cares about. But what we find is that when we come back to Canada, there are still lots of opportunities, right? So you don't have to go to Mexico, to Burundi, to Rwanda, to...
Probably.
There's a mission field right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're saying is, wherever you are, that fragrance, that aroma should flow out. In the things that you say, the things that you do, the behaviors, doesn't matter what group you're in, they should be consistently allowing that sweet aroma of Christ to come out.
Jim Elliot, the missionary who died, gave his life because of the Aka Indians. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He said this one thing, which I have stamped on a whole bunch of things at home, so I won't ever forget it. He said, "No man is a fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And Jesus Christ said, "For what profit is to a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" That means for his salvation, for his life. There is nothing on this earth that is worth your time, your effort, your finances, your care more than the kingdom of God and his glory. There is nothing. And God gets all the glory, because God is worthy of all the glory.
Yeah.
If God doesn't come through for you on a certain thing, and it's just kind of like what Lynn said, you know, there is grace for you to be in that place. Because God is going to work his good will and his good purpose out through you. And that is that's God's deal. God's deal is to see that his Son is glorified, and that we are satisfied in him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it's pretty difficult for that aroma to come out. So the starting point is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And there'll be an opportunity for you to do that as we close. But some of you this morning may have said, you know what, yeah, my candle's been snuffed in one of these areas, or two, or three. And we'd love to pray with you following the service. Part of our hearts are to minister to people in the areas that they need ministry in, no matter where we are. So whether we're in Steinbeck, whether in Winnipeg, whether we're in Mexico, we love to minister to people. So let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you that you are in the business of growing us,
mm-hmm.
so that the aroma of Christ,
yes,
can
Lord.
Continually emanate out from us.
Yes, Lord.
Where we are now, where we're going to be tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and down the road. We thank you for that awesome opportunity. We thank you for the grace to be able to do that.
Yes.
And we ask, Lord, that you just bless each one today. And as they go out of here, might the fragrance of Christ emanate from them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.